People of Great Britain, this is your Prime Minister. Victorious grin, triumphant forehead, brooding Chancellor. Over the past few months, as I have stood shoulder to shoulder with the American people in the war against terror, I've been accused by some in my party of becoming too presidential in my manner, but also that I have become too closely identified with President Bush. That, of course, is complete nonsensification. That anyone can say that in respectitude of the way I expressify my language, in the way which it is spokified by me to you, that I have become more presidential is totally without foundatability.
Ringers. Hello there, I'm Johnny Vaughan, back doing Movie Watch. And if you've seen Horrible, you don't need to ask why. News from Hollywood that a big-budget remake of the 60s cult classic The Prisoner is in the pipeline. Once again, a top British spy finds himself transported to a strange village.
Where am I?
In the village.
Who are you?
I'm the number two. And my ferrets are the new number 308 and 309. And you're the new number six.
Oh, that's right. The sixth person that we drugged and kidnapped and forced to play John Tregoran.
No, I am not an artist character. I am a free man.
Clary? How is our sophisticated up-to-the-minute information gathering device that keeps the whole village under surveillance functioning?
Oh, not too good, Eddie. Linda Snell's in bed with flu. Look, number six is trying to escape.
We'd better send that huge, round, bloated, gas-filled balloon after him.
Oh, Eddie, that's not a very nice way to talk about Marjorie Antrobus. No, anyway, there's no need for that. He won't get far.
How can you be sure?
Because, look, he's in a car being driven by R. Edward. Oh, Eddie, can you credit it? He's only stumbled from the wreckage straight into number one's underground lair.
I should have realised all along it would be you behind all this. Only a mind such as yours could have created such a truly hellish place. So, number one, will you ever let me leave the village?
Oh, no.
Girl, you're my angel, you're my darling.
Yay, know what I'm saying? Eminem in the house. Hey, Shaggy, how you doing? Who you screwing? Are you chewing? Hey, you working on a new rap, man.
Baby, please. Me is working on doing a new rap style.
Yo, that speaks to me, man. That's the best rapping in the world, man.
He's only copying this new boy in town. He's doing the most radical, crazy rapping you have ever heard. This be him coming up now.
Man, you know what I'm saying, Shaggy? He don't look like no rapper, man.
Yo, bro, you is killing. Me is heard your work on the world service.
Oh, massive, I understand what you're saying, man.
Really?
Why, you saying you want to rap with me? Why, baby, please, burn your knees.
Man, I thought Peter Lilly could sing.
BBC Radio 4, I'm Charlotte Green. Boy, I can't get you out of my head. Your loving is all I think about. After the incredible success enjoyed last Christmas by Stephen Fry reading all of the Harry Potter books, this holiday season, Martin Jarvis strikes back By releasing his very own Potter-themed BBC audio tape, Martin Jarvis reads the small print written on the back of all the Harry Potter merchandise.
Made in China. Warning, not suitable for children under 7. Non appropriate aux enfants au-dessous de 7. Colour and contents may differ from those illustrated. Not conveniente para los niños envejecidos bajo sitio. Batteries not included.
Hi there, Premiership here. Me, Des. Critics say, show no work. Why, Terry?
Will.
Ali?
Will.
Got to stop you there. Back out to the ads.
Mr. President, it may have taken 2 months, but you proved everyone wrong and triumphed.
Don't worry, when I play Trivial Pursuit, it always lasts this long. Should we have another game? Bags me the racing car and you can be Colonel Mustard.
No, no, Mr. President. The war against terror.
Of course we did. From the moment our allies, the Northern Alliance and Leicester troops, routed the evil Telly Savalas fighters from their key town of Omar Sharif, stormed in Candy Store, our Victor Borger was never in doubt as we smashed the evil Al Gore terrorist network.
Absolutely, sir. But what about finding Bin Laden?
That's in hand. I've just discovered this crack British outfit. They've not seen active service since the 1970s, but they will work around the clock to get him.
I am a Dalek.
Sure talks funny, don't it? So, Mr. Dalek, what is the plan?
I'm going to exterminate.
I see. Well, that's a bit more complicated than the other plans my generals and I have come up with so far. But, hell, let's give it a go.
But, sir, they can't see very well, they can't pick anything up, and they can only operate effectively on a terrain that is totally flat.
Well, they'll certainly fit in well with the American Special Forces, then. So, what was your last mission, guys?
I traveled from Skaro through the vortex to the Spyridon Galaxy and enslaved the people of Exelon.
Is it just me, or is it just ejaculatorizing a lot of ridiculatory words for no intellerific reason?
Where's the council speaking?
Hi. You're the cab company, is that right?
It is, love.
Good. This is Simon Cowell, the pop idol judge. Yeah?
Oh, yeah.
Hi there. Thank you for sounding impressed. That's a good start.
Listen, go on, what can I do for them, Simon?
Here's the deal. I want to go from Paradise Street to
yes,
the Albert... Just a moment. Let me finish the request, OK?
OK.
I want to go from Paradise Street to the Albert Dock, OK?
Uh-huh.
Give me a journey time, give me a price, in your own time.
Paradise Street, please, Mum. To the Albert Dock, how much? How long will it take?
Oh, God,
okay. You're talking about 5 minute journey and you're probably looking at... 260, if you're lucky.
260?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What's your name, my dear?
Donna.
Donna?
Yeah.
Okay, Donna, thanks for answering the phone.
You're welcome.
How would you mark yourself on what you've just told me?
I'd give myself a good 9.
A good 9?
Yeah.
Is that right, Donna? I'd give you 2. If you seriously are thinking about making it, that was just nowhere near good enough. I was completely and utterly not bowled over. That's just nowhere near good enough if you ever want to be a cab idol. Donna, how old are you?
It's a very personal question to ask a lady, isn't it?
Well, forgive me, but how old are you?
24.
Bad news is you're over 22. Good news is you wouldn't have got in anyway. You do realise I'm a great mover and shaker in the music business, don't you?
You're a what? Sorry, Simon.
Exactly. I've been responsible for bringing some legendary bands to the public. Great singles by the likes of the Teletubbies, Sunita, Robson and Jerome, Power Rangers. And do you remember the Hillbilly Rock by the Emmerdale...
Jerome and the Power Rangers, you call them legendary bands.
All down to me, Donna. All down to me.
You call them legendary bands, would you, Simon?
Oh, I would. Yes,
Robson
I would.
And Jerome, Margaret, you call a legendary band?
No.
Donna,
what?
You're an absolute superstar.
Thank you.
Do you like the way that my jumper is tucked into my corduroy trousers?
I love it.
That's good, isn't it?
Isn't it?
And the way my trousers kind of go halfway up my chest. Donna, do you find that alluring?
Not the word, I can assure you.
Do you like my jet black hair? It's good, isn't it? Tell you what I'll do, just for you, Donna.
What's that?
I'll get some of my hair clippings and I'll make them into a Brillo pad.
Oh, thank you.
And you can use it exclusively.
I look forward to it.
Thank you, Donna. You are a superstar.
Thank you.
BBC Radio 4, I'm Charlotte Green. Corey Caulfield and I are inviting you all to join us for a drink at the Horse and Groom after work. But that doesn't include those of you listening on Longwave. You're not invited because you scare us. You wear green Wellingtons indoors and you smell of Labradors. Well, bad luck, because that means you'll definitely be home to hear Go For It.
Hello, I'm Matt Smith, back for a brand new series. Yes, I can't quite believe it either. Welcome to Go For It. This is the show all about what us groovy people at Radio 4 think you kids are into. Aromatherapy, Reiki healing, and Thai cookery. Ace. This week in our book corner, we've got Anthony Hopkins. He was that Welsh bloke who ate all those people in that scary film. Ace. And he's reading Goblin Market by Christina Rossetti.
She gorged on bitterness without a name. Swift fire spread through her veins. Like a wind uprooted tree cast headlong down into the sea, she fell at last. Pleasure past and anguish past. Is it life or is it death?
Ace. Wasn't it great? Now this week, we recruited two young roving reporters and sent them out onto the street to find out whether members of the general public like EastEnders or chips. And you know what we found out? We found out that you shouldn't give a load of expensive sound recording equipment to a couple of kids off a Tottenham sink estate. Bloody kids. I hate them. I was bullied at school, you know. Only joking, I think. Ace.
And so the World Cup ceremony here in Busan is now complete. Interestingly, a ceremony with statistically the most incompetent pair of presenters since Sam Fox and Mick Fleetwood. England's draw a tough one, no doubt, Sven, but the sheer excitement of a World Cup, you must be looking forward to it.
It will undoubtedly be not the most mundane way of spending the summer months. John, as I continue my inexorable slow march to the grave.
Fair enough. Now, all the headlines will be about Argentina. Such history between the teams. What a mouth-watering tie that is.
It is possible that a small droplet of saliva might form at the edge of my lips, John, but I should immediately wipe it with a clean handkerchief, wipe it away entirely as I stare into the abyss slowly.
I see. And for you personally, facing your home nation in the opening match, that must be a real thrill.
No, I am, in a way, facing my own shadow self. I will both win and lose, for part of my soul must triumph and part be utterly destroyed.
Sven-Göran Eriksson there, looking forward with gleeful impatience to next year's World Cup. And I thought meeting the Queen was scary.
Now,
I'm Graham Norton, the last Kenneth Williams in the shop. Now, after the success of my 100 Greatest Films program, Radio 4 have asked me to do one for them. The 100 Greatest Afternoon Plays of All Time. At number 100, I know you'll all remember this one. From way back in the 50s, it's A Watched Kettle Never Boils by Neville Looney, starring Judi Dench and Martin Jarvis.
Has it boiled yet?
No. I think I'll stop staring at it so much. Sorry.
Now, coming in at 99... Yes, we all knew it. It's A Watched Kettle Still Hasn't Boiled. Perhaps You Haven't Switched It On at the Plug by Neville Looney and starring Judi Dench and Martin Jarvis.
Has it boiled yet?
No, it still hasn't boiled.
Well, perhaps you haven't switched it on at the plug.
Oh, fantastic! Oh! And your choice for number 98 was Dinner for Seven by Veronica Vaines. And this one stars Martin Jarvis and Judi Dench.
Oh, darling, I've invited people over for dinner. For seven.
Not for seven.
Yes, darling.
Okay, that's fine.
And next week I'll be presenting the 100 Greatest Just a Minute Pauses. See you then.
Hi there, Premiership here. Me, Des, this Terry. Watcher, Ali.
Aye.
No time to talk, packed show. Let's start with the top-of-the-table clash. Here are the highlights.
It's a goal!
So, 1-0. Surprising, Terry?
No.
Controversy, Ali?
Aye.
What about that injury, Terry?
Yes.
Serious, Ali? Terry, stats?
Prozone.
Ali, goal of the day.
Blackburn.
No time for banter, Ali. Just laugh.
Aye.
Thanks. Coming up, Man U extended highlights, held 10 seconds. Back in 20 minutes, after the ads.
Hello, this is Trevor MacDonald, welcoming you to the ITV News at 10 Massive. Is it because I is knighted? Well, it's been a truly momentous day for the government at Westminster. And as we couldn't find anyone decent to interview, we'll instead fill the yawning gap to the end of the show by crossing to John Sargent, standing outside Downing Street.
Yes, Trevor, what I can't tell you is anything you haven't already heard or anything you don't know already. But what I can do is slur my voice and speak incredibly slowly so that before you know, 3 minutes have gone by and it's time for Steve Penk's TV nightmares.
I see. So, John, what do you think the Prime Minister is doing right now as we speak?
Well, Trevor, what I can't tell you is whether he's sitting in front of a roaring log fire in his Harry Potter gym jams, getting ready to walk up the stairs to Bedfordshire, because I don't have X-ray vision and can't see through solid brick walls. What I can tell you is that it's sleeting heavily, and I may just have lost the feeling in one of my little toes.
So, chipping in one last banal question before the Mondeo ads start. John, what lies ahead for the government?
What I can't tell you, Trevor, is what lies ahead for the government, because, despite the obvious resemblance, I'm not Mystic Meg. But what I can tell you is what lies ahead for me, which is double pneumonia, a long stay in hospital, until someone in the studio buys me a hot water bottle for Christmas. Back to the studio.
Oh, hello. Are you the shirt makers?
We are indeed, yes, sir.
Oh, excellent. I needed a made-to-measure shirt with just one or two specific requirements, if that might be all right.
That's okay, no problem.
Are you able to come to my work premises to actually do the footing?
We are indeed, yes, sir. Where are your workshop?
It's just over at Downing Street. We could make arrangements for you to, you know, come in and so on.
That'll be no problem, sir.
Oh, very good. I'll see to it.
Certainly. I'm pleased to be of service.
Not at all. I'll send out Des just to unlock the gates and take care of all that sort of stuff.
No problem.
What I needed was a shirt, light blue, cloth on the outside,
yes,
but with a waterproof polythene lining. Well, yes, indeed. But yeah, a waterproof polythene lining with moisture collectors, which would drain any liquid downward into two side leg trouser pipes, which would then trail any moisture into two trouser bottom heaters to gently warm the perspiration and turn it into an invisible vapour.
You don't want a tailor, sir, you want a scientist.
Oh, homie, explain to me again what we're doing here in Afghanistan.
I've explained to you before, Marge, I'm not your husband, I'm John Simpson, the BBC's supreme head of world affairs and domination.
Oh. Oh, but you're related to homie, right?
Oh, of course he is, Marge. Look at the protruding belly. Mmm, donuts.
Croissants, actually.
Actually.
Oh, and he's as self-important as you.
If I could just interrupt you there, I think you'll find that I puncture pomposity in my masters rather than fueling my own self-aggrandizement.
Yeah, right, this is you. I'm John Simpson. I think I'm so special. I think I liberated Kabul. Woohoo!
I didn't say woohoo.
Yeah, whatever. I carumba. You said the rest of it, and then they told you up.
Yeah, so what have you got to say for yourself now?
Do.
BBC Radio 4, Perkins Lock, Stardate 14901. Later, another implausible series with Tony Hawks, in which he takes his slightly odd voice and spends his weekends travelling round God knows where with an entire flat-packed IKEA kitchen. But first, Desert Island Discs featuring William Hague.
It's rare for me to welcome onto the show a man about whom it might quite rightly be said changed the face of British political life. But that's exactly what I'll be doing next week when we have Sir David Steele. William Hague, welcome.
It is good to be with you, Sue, and the British people once again.
Now, Mr. Hague, I know that finding a time for us to get together wasn't easy because of what's a very hectic schedule.
Yes, I know. You're a very busy woman. Thank you for making the time to be here.
Now, before we begin with your first record, how do you think you cope, generally speaking, on a deserted island totally cut off and isolated from everyone?
Me? Isolated and alone? Hard to imagine, I grant you. Still, I think I'd cope pretty well away from the pressures of Westminster. Hang on, Sue. You say I'd be totally alone on this tropical paradise?
That's right, yes, it is a deserted island.
Which means that I, William Hague, would be Prime Minister of this deserted island?
Well, yes, I suppose so. Moving on to your first record.
Elected with a landslide vote of 100% of the electorate. Me, able to rule as I saw fit, making sure Man Friday and all those other illegal immigrants did not set foot on my island. But then it would start, wouldn't it? The sniping behind my back, the whispering campaign from the chattering monkeys high above me in the swaying palm trees saying I, William Hague, was not good enough to be their leader.
Your first record, Grandad, by Clive Dunn.
Sue, what is to become of me? What's a person to do when they're casually tossed on the scrap heap written off as yesterday's news and replaced by newer, fresher faces?
Well, you could always do what I did and start presenting Desert Island Discs.
Hello, can I help?
Hello, is that the landscape gardeners?
It is, yes.
Yes, I wondered if you're able to restore the gardens of the good people of this land, and if so, could you restore the garden of my home?
I would hope so. I am a garden designer, yes.
Maybe I could describe to you the garden.
Yes,
at
please
my home.
Do, yes.
It's a good home. It has a kitchen garden. It smells of herbs in the day, jasmine in the evening. The soil is black as my wife's hair. The poplar tree to the north. The wild ponies, they tease my son. He wants to be one of them. I've not been home for 2 years, 319 days, and this morning, my family were made to watch tapes of Countdown while they were still alive. Now, all that remains are the charred remnants.
Well, it sounded very nice.
My name is Gladiator.
Gladiator, do we have anything a little bit fuller there?
My name is Maximus Decimus Meridius, commander of the armies to the north, general to the Felix Legions, servant to the true Emperor Marcus Aurelius, father to a murdered son, husband to a murdered wife, mild man to dustman. In this life or the next.
Right, okay.
I can't speak for much longer.
Right.
If I do, my voice will go deeper and deeper. Until it comes to the time when it can only be heard by dogs.
Okay.
Have you been in the army?
No, I haven't.
Then you can help me. Whatever comes out of those garden gates, we stand a better chance of survival if we work together. Do you understand?
Right. Okay, then. Well, I'm not sure if I can help you today. I'm not sure whether I'm quite up to restoring the gardens of the legions, actually.
You've been listening to Dead Ringers. It was performed by John Culshaw, Jan Ravens, Mark Perry and Kevin Connolly. It was written by Tom Jameson and Neff Fantin. John Holmes, Lawrence Howarth, John Culshaw, Danny Robbins, Dan Tetzel, Dave Cohen and Tony Roach. It was devised by Bill Dare. The producer is Mario Stylianides.
People of Britain, tear-stained cheek, trembling bottom lip, middle distance stare. We have received what is, of course, terrible news from the world of entertainment. Sir Elton John says that he's made his last record. Sir Elton was the people's princess. The queen of all our hearts, cruelly snatched away from us. It is gratifying that a heartfelt tribute song dedicated to the great man has been penned by the singer he considers to be the finest of his generation, himself.
Goodbye, Elton John. We loved your song about the yellow brick road, but your face looked like a feral that was having sex with a toad. And it seemed to me you lived your life with a mammal on your head. But it didn't stop us wondering whether it was alive or dead. And your fans love the syrupy ballads and your outrageous clothes, but they weren't too keen on the colonic irrigation. You did without a hose.